Hello and welcome to another episode of Wine and Dine in LA with Anoush, where I get to interview amazing guests who are in wine and food industry. Today, I have a really special treat for you guys, for all the listeners. I have Emma Baudry, specialist in sweet Bordeaux wines. She's visiting United States to promote sweet wines of Bordeaux. And what a treat. Welcome, Emma. Thank you so much for joining me today on the show and sharing about your visit, about Bordeaux, about everything. We have so many questions.
Hello. Thank you very much. I'm here. I'm very happy to be in the United States and I will love to answer all the questions you would have about sweet wine or any kind of wines from Bordeaux.
So many questions. Well, before we jump into the sweet wines, I wanted to ask you if you can give a little background on what does it mean when somebody says, I'm drinking Bordeaux. What is Bordeaux? Where is Bordeaux? What is it all about?
Bordeaux is one of the biggest region of France. It's located southwest of France. It's a very nice region to travel around. It's over 62 different appellations, so I can imagine that you don't understand everything because it's quite complicated. And Bordeaux, it's mainly red wines with Merlot and Cabernet Sauvignon. But at the beginning, dry white wines and sweet wines were more famous than the red wines.
Interesting.
I will tell you a story. I did a training in America, long years ago. And when I arrived in America, everybody was speaking about Bordeaux. And I'm not from Bordeaux. And I said, well, when I go back to France, I had to go to Bordeaux. And now it's where I live.
Amazing. So you got so fascinated by Bordeaux, by people telling you about the place, and you had to move there.
Yes, and I did. And I found my husband over there. And now I have a family in Bordeaux. I'm in the middle of the vineyards, and it's great.
Oh, that sounds like a dream place to live. I was lucky enough to spend about 4 to 5 months in Napa Valley, and I lived on a vineyard. And every day I woke up and I looked out the window, or I came out of the house, and I said, "This is what paradise looks like."
Is it, you know what, if you don't have vineyard around you, the landscape, it's totally different. It's not as nice with vineyards.
It is. Oh, I need to, well, need to definitely visit Bordeaux. I haven't been to France, but it's on my number one list of places to go. Okay, going back to the wine rather than travel, before we go back to the wine, I was going to say this. Sometimes when people ask me, what is a good wine? And I say, a good wine is a wine that tells you about the place. And when it tells you about that place, all you want to do is to pack your bags, buy an airplane ticket, and go to that place. So without even talking about the wine, already the Bordeaux, the description of it is already so inviting that I'm sure the listeners are like, okay, next trip is to Bordeaux.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Wine, it's people. If you don't have the people who make the wine, that's it. You will never be able to drink it.
Yeah.
You have to be passionate. Passion to be able to be a winemaker and make wine every day.
Because it's not easy, right?
It's not easy. It's very complicated. And you can leave everything. You can waste everything because of the climate and the frost and, hail, everything can come in and you can lose all your production.
That's true. Yeah, then you have to be really dedicated.
Yes.
It's such a beautiful topic. Going back to talking a little bit more about Bordeaux, you mentioned that there is, for example, only certain red varietals that they can grow, and also the white varietals. Why is that so? And can it be changed, or is it something that is there forever? So they say Bordeaux can grow only certain grapes, and that's how it's going to be. And how did it happen?
Okay, mainly we have some cahier des charges rules that all wine growers have to follow. Actually, we are looking to have new grape varieties, but it's not easy. It takes time because we have to experiment them and see how they go, if the wine is still good with the blend. So it's why at the beginning and right now we use mainly Merlot and Cabernet Sauvignon, but we might have to change with the climate changes. So we are experimenting new grape varieties, but you know, wine, it's not in one day. You have to experiment for maybe one, even 5 years, at least 5 years, to get a good experience of what is a very nice wine. And you have to know that Bordeaux, it's not only red wine, it's also white wines. Bordeaux, it's the largest producing region in terms of white grapes in France. So we produce dry white wine with Sémillon, Sauvignon, and Muscadelle as well.
Those are my favorite white varietals. Well, I love white Bordeaux. So that's interesting. So with the climate change, you are going to introduce new varietals. Are those varietals a cross between what you have? Are they going to be a varietals from different countries? What type of grapes are they?
Some of them are from different countries, like Portugal or Spain, and some others is hybrid.
Hybrids, yeah.
Yes.
Interesting.
But as I say, it will take time. We have a contract with the government for at least 5 years. So that means that during 5 years, we need to experiment how it does with the blend of Bordeaux.
I see.
Because the AOP, so appellations, have rules. And we need to keep the label as a good quality.
Yeah, I understand. Interesting. Wow. Yeah, there are challenges with the climate changes and the grapes ripening and consistency and everything. So I guess we will see what happens within 10 to 15 years. Another common question that I get asked, when talking about Bordeaux, when people say left bank, right bank, what does that really mean? Are the wines on the left bank are better than the ones on the right bank? And how is that came about?
Well, in fact, you have the Garonne River. This is the center of, I would say, no, the heart of Bordeaux. So you have left bank and right bank river. And the difference, it's terroir. So if you test wines from the left bank of the right bank, you will have some differences. Some of them will be easy to drink, some will need aging to be able to drink later. It's a question of terroir because before the sea was in Bordeaux, and when the sea went out, different terroir came as well. So, and in different terroir, we put different grape variety as well. So the blendings are different.
Interesting. It is so, I mean, France is such an interesting country wine-wise, and not only wine to study. It has so many rules, regulations, but at the same time, I think all the rules and regulations started from France, so that people, the other countries, started following in the footsteps to make sure that if you are producing a certain wine and you have a certain label on it, it gives you a certification of quality.
Yes, of course. In fact, the appellation and the certification started in 1880 in France. So wow, a long time ago.
And is now, this when all the classifications came about? First growth, second growth, third growth?
Yes, the certification started in 1885. And the certification was based on the quality of the wine, the price of the wine, and the notoriety of the wine.
Wow, interesting.
So the you have only one, the first classify wine growth of Bordeaux, it's a Sauternes, it's Château d'Yquem.
From the sweet wines.
Yes.
I was going to, without going into too much detail, because I know sometimes, you know, and especially for someone who is not really much into the wine, but I just still wanted to, if we can kind of break it down and make it simpler. So when you look at the classification of, and we're just talking about Bordeaux, it looks like a pyramid, correct? It's like a triangle. So on the top, you have the Grand Cru's, Premier Cru's.
At the top, you have the only first Grand Cru classé of Bordeaux, which is
and
Château
d'Yquem. And it's only five wineries, correct?
No, it's only one.
From the sweet ones. What about from the red ones?
In fact, they are all included in the 1855 classification.
Uh-huh.
So in 1855, there were different wines which were classified, and the only one, the top one, was a Sauternes, Château d'Yquem.
And then comes which ones?
And then comes some wines from Médoc and the sweet wine region, Sauternes, mm-hmm. Barsac, and then Saint-Émilion. Saint-Émilion, the classification was made not so long. It's a new classification.
I see. All right. Well, now that we started talking about the Sauternes and we're talking about sweet classifications, let's open up the subject. Maybe briefly before we go to the break, we have about 5 minutes before we take a break. So you're here on the tour to promote sweet wines. What is a sweet wine? And is any wine that is sweet is in that category that you are promoting?
So sweet wine, it's totally natural. They are produced with botrytis, which is a microscopic fungus that you can find on all kind of fruit. When you have gray filament on your tomatoes, for example, this is botrytis. So it can destroy a fruit crop, but for us it's beneficial. And it will bring a lot of different types of aromas, which is very good for the complexity of the wine. But this microscopic fungus can grow only in humid condition. Mm-hmm. And there are three ways of producing sweet wines all over the world. The first one is ice wine, such as in Canada. Second one is sunshine grapes, such as in Italy. And the last one is botrytis berries, like in France.
Mm-hmm.
And in all the three categories, Noble Watch, so Beaujolais, it's one of the best wines of the world.
It truly is. It's an amazing, if anyone who is listening, who if you ever had a Sauternes or any of the sweet wines from Bordeaux, it's the flavors are just unexplainable, uncomparable to anything that you have ever had.
You have so, a lot.
Go ahead.
You have a lot of complexity of citrus fruit aromas, grapefruit, orange peels, tea, green tea, mint, apricot, peaches, etc.
That is amazing. Do you, Emma, know how? I mean, to me, all these things are a result of an accident. So is there a story that goes to how, and hold on, before talking about that, we kind of briefly talked about, you know, botrytis and the grapes. Can we talk a little bit in detail how that happens? So let the growing season begins in the spring. So the grapes are flowering, then they form the bunches. Then what happens throughout the summer? They ripen. They are nice and healthy grapes.
Yes.
So then comes the fall and the grapes are still hanging. And usually those are the varietals. Is it Sauvignon Blanc and Semillon? Just
yes.
Like mentioned that those are the two varietals. And Muscadel, you said?
Yes, as well.
Yeah. So those grapes, they ripen, they become juicy. How are you not tempted to just pick them and make wine before they get the botrytis?
Well, you can do it. If you do it, you make crémant, so sparkling wines, early in August. And then you make dry white wine at the beginning of September. But if you want to make sweet wine, you have to wait till the end of September.
So you wait till the end of September, and then I heard your presentation. You said that in some of the wineries, they would leave about six bunches per vine.
Yes, yes. In fact, it's very it's a small production, and so we have to leave only small bunches on each vines. And so we have to take care of each bunches because the botrytis that does not affect all the grapes at the same time.
Wow. All right. Well, how about we do this? We are going to take a quick break. And then when we get back, let's talk a little bit about how the wine is actually made. So we talked about how the grapes grow, how they come about to mature, and then they hang on the vine. And then the fall comes in, brings in the fog, and the botrytis starts forming. What happens then? We will tell after the short break. Stay tuned. I have Emma Baudry, a specialist in sweet wine of Bordeaux, visiting United States to promote sweet wines of Bordeaux. So we will be right back.